For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
I'm living my best life, yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host, Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us on a very busy Wednesday. Always a delight to sit in for Rich and the guys. It is the day after a significant day in our nation's history, but I'll be totally transparent, especially as the fill-in hack, just keeping the chair warm. If you have reached the point of voter fatigue, however you feel about the outcome of what happened last night, I can let you know up front, this will be a politically free program. For once, after months of sitting through endless ads, and again, I am not picking one side or the other. This is an agnostic view on a Big Word Wednesday. But if you have just reached the point of saturation, I am here to entertain and inform. Now, I don't just stick to sports. And if you're wondering, who am I? What am I doing here? I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. You can hop aboard at 844-204-7424. If you follow me on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, you'll see that I opine on a variety of topics. But I'm not approaching this from the standpoint of shut up and over-enunciate. That would be hard to do, right? It seems like a disconnect, but I'm going for shut up and dribble. I am not staying in my lane, but this is not the Brian Weber show. And Brian Weber, as I go third person, knows that two other versions of the Brian Weber show have already been canceled. The fact that Rich and his team have enough confidence in me not to destroy the brand is a wonderful confidence boost. So we are going to spend the next 3 hours going all in on football. Now, you might have missed it last night because I realized there were other things to watch, but the geniuses that run college football decided to have the first official college football playoff rankings unveiled last night. I realized they do it traditionally on a Tuesday. You would think they would call an audible based on the gravity of last night, but we're talking about the dysfunction of college football after all. So coming up in 20 minutes, I'll go through the fallout and the implications now that we know the first snapshot of the new 12-team playoff era, and then we'll start hour number two going in-depth on that topic. Here's a preview, and I realize this sounds like a bad political ad. I'm a lone voice in the wilderness, and I consume a lot of sports media. And I'm not just trying to play a contrarian on the radio or however you're consuming this audio content. I realize there's money to be made when the world zigs, you should zag, but I firmly believe this. Now, it does sound like I'm running for local dog catcher. The old format was better, and I'll go through a myriad of reasons why. Four teams is much more interesting to me than 12, understanding that the vast majority of you are saying, who is this guy, and why is he dead wrong? NFL trade deadline passed yesterday. We're going to jump right in, going through not winners and losers. I don't hand out report cards, but the moves of significance. And now, barring injuries, in a league in which there's a 100% injury rate, the rosters are effectively set. We will take a step back and take a big picture look at who are the most complete teams in the NFL. It's not Kansas City. I realize they're still undefeated somehow, some way, but we'll talk about the comprehensive rosters and the teams with an actual chance to win it all in a year in which I'm seeing far too much mediocrity across the NFL, but that's the goal. Parity is just another word for mediocrity. It's all about competitive balance, having as many teams in playoff contention down the stretch to make sure those almighty TV ratings stay bulletproof as they continue to be. Just two guests coming up because I value this opportunity so much and I try to grab as much content and then shove it into our 3 hours together. In fact, we're wide open this first hour. So if you're inclined to pick up the telephone, 844-204-7424, the number to call. As always, the best way to get a hold of me is via social media. I guess Elon's going to have more power, so I should follow his dictates and call it the X platform. We don't work for him. It's still Twitter in my book. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. I'll scan the account moving forward. If you have something compelling to pass along, I'll put you in the rotation. First guest comes up at 1:40 Eastern time. In addition to all the NFL I'm going to cover presently, we'll get the reaction of Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk to the moves of consequence yesterday heading into the trade deadline. And then we wrap up the program with Style Points, 2:40 Eastern time, talking about what happened last night officially in the college football playoff rankings when we check in with PFUTech of collegefootballnews.com. I'm not going to go through all the moves yesterday. It's not satellite radio, although we're happy to be affiliated with SiriusXM, and I'm not working in the middle of the night. But from a standpoint of what truly matters, a handful of deals stood out to me. And one was sneaky, and I realize now folks are starting to pay much more attention to the magnificent story going on in our nation's capital. Most of that a byproduct of finally ending Daniel Snyder's reign of terror in D.C. It is amazing when you change the culture of an organization, how many positive things can happen. And I'm not saying the two are always correlated, but I will say this. When you have a dysfunctional organization, you have virtually no chance of being successful in any walk of life, especially in a league like the NFL, where the margin between winning and losing is so tight. So say goodbye to Dan and the decades of perverse things that were going on within that franchise and the horrible slop he allowed to be thrown out on the field. And magically, it's all changing. Now, it also helps to draft wisely. And I love college football. Let me pause. I used to love college football even more than the NFL. And I'm not just now the guy who is screaming at clouds. I still have a passion for the college game. But I'm bringing this up because if you watch Jaden Daniels play, both at Arizona State and then stepping up in competition when he moved to LSU on his way to winning the Heisman, you knew this guy was electrifying. And this is not a Monday morning quarterback when it comes to draft analysis. Go back and look at those mock drafts and listen to the pundits that you care about. The separation between the analysis of Caleb Williams going number one to Chicago, and Caleb's had a very solid year in the midst now of more drama building in Chicago, now 4-4 coming off that bad loss to Arizona, although we should be talking a lot more about what's working for the Cardinals. Back to leadership matters. Jonathan Gannon has turned that entire organization around, and I think we still are feeling the implications of his departure from Philadelphia, although I have more confidence in the Eagles than a lot of people do based on the quality of the roster. The hang-up there is Nick Sirianni. But if we're just talking raw talent, there was not much to distinguish Daniels from Williams. I prefer Daniels from a standpoint of his mobility, and now this is me being the old-timer here, not talking gut, because as I glance into the reflective surface here, that can be a challenge as we get deeper into our 50s. I'm Brian Weber, bearing my soul for you and for Rich Eisen. You can be a part of the program, 844-204-7424, or X me, BW Weber, Weber 2 Bs. In less than 15 minutes, we make the move to college football. I'm going to over-enunciate that even more. Anytime I fill in for Rich, there is one guy, and now this is me bearing my soul too much, one guy who points out, I still have a vestige of an East Coast accent, just like Rich, although he grew up in New York City proper in Staten Island. I grew up 5 minutes from the Bronx border. I am a product of the East Coast. I have worked hard to develop this broadcaster's voice. But there's one fella out there who points out that apparently, when I say college, there's a little bit of a soft A in there. Back to the show. Enough narcissism for 1 hour here. If you think about Daniels, with that it factor, he has had it throughout his career. I'm not saying I saw the Hail Mary coming, but I'm just telling you, I believed in his dynamic, transformational talent on a team that was not that terrible in recent years. I realize, as the great Jim Ross used to say, Washington hit rock bottom last year at the business end of Ron Rivera's tenure. Go back a couple years ago, this was a team that won 8 games. So there was some skill on that roster. You bring in Daniels, and now things are just clicking in a monumental way. And in terms of the fallout from the trade deadline, picking up Marshawn Lattimore not only is a statement that this ownership group and the new GM and the front office regime, which includes Bob Myers of Warriors fame, and I will sneak in just a little bit of NBA conversation in the final hour. I realize it is only the 6th of November, but the Celtics and the Warriors gives me a way to shoehorn some NBA talk in. We'll get there coming up in the last hour of the show. Bob, though, picking up a check as a side hustle in addition to the money he's making on TV as a pundit. Everything's changed in Washington now. And the fact that they would give up significant draft capital to get Marshawn Lattimore is another statement to that locker room that not only are we in it this year, and we're going to do everything we can to enhance our possibility of outlasting Philadelphia to win that division, but we believe we have something that's evolving here. And look, I know Lattimore is not what he used to be, but body of work says this is a guy that used to be in the conversation amongst the best secondary players in all of football. And I do believe situation matters. And if you're Lattimore, you got to feel like you won the football lottery jumping off that dumpster fire in progress that is the Saints. Remember, and I was here Labor Day, so looking ahead to the start of the year, all the buzz surrounding what the Saints offense was going to look like this year. And remember when they ran wild over the Cowboys? Feels like ancient history because Saints have lost 7 in a row and that forced Dennis Allen to get whacked just a couple days ago. Feels like a lifetime ago. It's been a long week and it's only Wednesday. So Lattimore to Washington, to me, a very solid move that has larger implications about the changing dynamic in Washington. The buzz surrounding Za'Darius Smith was actualized yesterday when he did, in fact, wind up in Detroit. And speaking of organizational leadership mattering, Brad Holmes is doing a magnificent job in Detroit. If you look at that roster, and let's connect what I was foreshadowing earlier, who's the most complete team in the NFL? I think it's Detroit, and I don't think it's even close. Now, I am a little bit older than hopefully my energetic delivery suggests. In fact, if you care anything about me, who is this guy? I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. My birthday coming up tomorrow means I'm leaving the coveted 18 to 54 demographic. Next stop, funeral planning. So my life is over. But I do have a good chunk of history to think back upon and reflect on for the majority, not only of my lifetime, but my late father's lifetime. We all know how bad the Lions have been. The curse of Bobby Lane, 1957, their last championship. And I don't want to be a prisoner of the past, but the fact that the Lions not only rebounded from the emotionally crippling loss in the NFC Championship game, in which Dan Campbell's decision-making played a role. Like everybody, I love the bravado of Dan. Certainly he has put a identity of toughness on that franchise by his personal swagger. But we now live in an NFL where if you don't go for it, somehow you're coaching in black and white and you're wearing a hat on the sideline in 1947. I fully understand the criticism of Todd Bowles on Monday night. I would have gone for the two-point conversion for all the reasons that are self-evident. At the same time, I can at least identify with his thought process because Todd Bowles is an old-school defensive-minded coach who is going to have a level belief in his defense, even though the Bucs have been battered by injuries on both sides of the football. And if you talk to football people, I realize spotted at the two, you think it's a gimme. Well, in that low red zone, you have lower options. In fact, a lot of teams prefer, I know this is counterintuitive, to be back at the 8 or 9 because you have more room to operate with. But yes, Baker Mayfield on the road, reigning champs on the ropes, opportunity to knock them out, hand them their first loss. Yes, you go for two, but I don't want to normalize the wild variance in decision-making that, say, we saw from Brandon Staley. How'd that work out for him? Not so well as he got whacked last year, but I would be a fool in any way to undermine what Campbell's doing in Detroit in partnership with Brad Holmes, who is just a very savvy GM, to go out and get Smith. He's not going to be Aiden Hutchinson because no one's Aiden Hutchinson, but it says a few things. A, we believe in this core group defensively that we don't need, and Myles Garrett was never going to be available, but we don't need to do something absurd and mortgage the future. Get a guy like Smith, even though he's 32 years old, an established pressure generator, come off the edge, because the Lions just can't get to the quarterback. No sacks on Sunday in what was a complete win over the Lions, with a lot of help from Jordan Love, who, while he certainly is ascending, has become a turnover machine this year. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. You want to talk NFL with me, it's 844-204-7424, or slide over to the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, a very good day for Tesla stock if you are multitasking. Oh, by the way, if you want more observations on Wall Street, download my podcast, Dollars and Cents with B Web, wherever you get your podcasts. So Detroit making the move they needed to bolster their front seven, generate any semblance of a pass rush in getting Za'Darius Smith. And there is a school of thought, and this again is not a stretch, if the Lions get to the Super Bowl with the additional week and the two-week layoff between the conference championship games and the Roman numeral game coming up in New Orleans, Hutchinson might be able to come back from that gruesome leg injury he suffered in that comprehensive blowout over the Cowboys. Lions, to me, clearly the most complete team in all of football. Chiefs have flaws, but it doesn't matter because they now feel like the Patriot dynasty, that they just find a way. And if we're talking about moves of significance, I realize this did not happen adjacent to the deadline. You saw it on Monday night. DeAndre Hopkins suddenly looking like it was 8 years ago or 5 years ago with his playmaking skills. Funny what happens when you are liberated from Tennessee and you get a chance to play with Patrick Mahomes. To me, although this speaks to Baker Mayfield, and I am not the biggest Baker supporter, although, again, I would be out of my mind not to give him his flowers, as you kids say. He's putting up gargantuan numbers, but Kansas City's most reliable asset this year has been their defense. And I don't know for the life of me why Steve Spagnuolo hasn't gotten another head coaching opportunity, or maybe he's just very comfortable stacking rings, working for Andy Reid, making a big payday as the defensive coordinator in Kansas City, and doesn't want the hassle of being the next coach of the Carolina Panthers to be fired. But if we're thinking Kansas City, it's defense and the playmaker they needed in Hopkins, because obviously Kelce's always going to be the go-to option, but Kansas City has just been absolutely tormented by injuries at the wide receiver position, including the one-man crime wave, that is Rashee Rice. I'll get to the Cowboys coming up in the next hour. I will throw this out there if you're a Cowboy fan, and I'm not trolling you. Can you explain to me the rationale of picking up Jonathan Mingo for a fourth-round pick yesterday? A reminder, Cowboys gave up a first-round pick to get Amari Cooper from the Raiders and only got a fifth-round pick in return when he went to Cleveland. And I think the answer would be Jerry Jones, if possible, is becoming even more out of touch, but I don't want to grab the low-hanging content fruit and just stomp on the Cowboys. I'll do it roughly an hour from now when we talk about the future of that coaching staff, and do you believe the Deion Sanders to Dallas hype could be real? So as we think about yesterday and some marginal moves, like the Steelers picking up Mike Williams, you knew Mike and Aaron Rodgers would not be going to the holiday party together in Florham Park, New Jersey, after Aaron publicly buried him and he was clearly expendable as part of the trickle-down impact of Davante Adams forcing his way to the Jets, and Garrett Wilson's got to be fed. I would feed him more frequently based on that freakish catch for the ages on Thursday. I am surprised, because the Texans are well-run, and Nick Caserio has all those rings from his time in New England, they didn't do anything to address their offensive line, because I'm not going to frame what's happening to Bryce Young's situation in Carolina as all about Bryce, and I'll get to C.J. Stroud in a second. Just going through my notes here. I did wonder if Carolina is going to go back and forth with Bryce, and obviously they lost confidence in him, if they're willing to trade Mingo, were there conversations about moving Bryce? Because I still think you could get something for him, because he's not that far removed from being the number one overall pick and winning the Heisman. Although that organization is so broken, it all depends on the whim of owner David Tepper, who made billions of dollars, but thinks that somehow he's a football genius as well. That moves, or lack of movement, and we don't know what was going on internally, was a surprise. But in terms of where C.J. Stroud is out this year and losing Stephon Diggs, a massive setback. I realize they're going to get Nico Collins back soon, but he just got absolutely abused by the Jets defense that finally came alive the last time we saw the Texans on Thursday night, and that was not an aberration. That offensive line has been a revolving door, and yes, think about how shrewd it was to get Joe Mixon, because Cincinnati is poorly run. Mixon has been a real consistent asset on the ground. But if you want to preserve not only your playoff outlook, and I think Houston's going to be just fine winning that division because somebody has to, not going to be the Colts. Joe Flacco, not the savior this time. We saw how poorly he played against Minnesota's stout defense on Sunday night. But if you want to contend for a Super Bowl, and that's the goal in Houston, coming off their remarkable turnaround last year, winning a playoff game and hanging tough in the first half on the road in Baltimore in the divisional round, they have to fix that offensive line at some point. This is not on C.J. Stroud for regressing, coming off one of the most remarkable rookie seasons we've seen a quarterback play statistically in the history of the league. I am a little bit, I'm not going to be shocked, it's not Casablanca, but I am a little bit surprised that nothing was done there. I'm Brian Weber. We have handled the trade deadline, and now we can move forward together talking football at 844-204-7424. We'll get back to the fallout from what happened and didn't go down yesterday coming up in the next hour of the program, 1:40 Eastern time when we check in with Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk. More NFL coming up in 20 minutes. I mention Mike Williams has to feel good about landing in Pittsburgh. Better team, much more likely playoff scenario, and he's going to get more looks. And Russell Wilson has played marginally better than I think a lot of us thought. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. That's a separate conversation based on what he did in the past. But that offense certainly clicking with more fluidity than it did, even though Justin Fields was not terrible. Williams gets to go to Pittsburgh. Better shot of making the playoffs. But what do we do with the Jets at this stage of the season? Looking ahead to Sunday, they have a juicy matchup against the Cardinals. We'll get there coming up in 20 minutes. Straight ahead. With your phone calls a possibility at 844-204-7424 or X me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We'll shift to the college game. I told you I'm going to be even more annoying than normal. And what happens on Saturdays on campus? First official CFP rankings came out last night. Are we really sure this 12-team bracket is an improvement? Just getting warmed up on a jam-packed Wednesday. Always an honor to be in for Rich and the fellas. I'm Brian Weber. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. 844-204-7424 is the phone number. Conversation never stops on social media. My handle across all the platforms is BW Weber, Weber with two B's, and not only is that a radio gimmick, gotta play the hits, my man, but it is amazing when your last name is Weber, how often it gets misspelled. Folks, I wish I had just the single B, because then potentially I'd have Weber grill money and likely would be living on an island someplace, but I wouldn't be happy doing that. I'm in the content game. And I have found, as you get older, love the job, certainly in sports media, it will love you back. We're going to keep that sarcasm. We will keep this college football block concise because I went super long on the NFL monologue, and I want to get back to the NFL in less than 15 minutes because audience is never wrong, and you want as much professional football as possible. When we ease into hour number two of the program in 30 minutes, we'll go more in depth on what we learned last night. And the good news for you, if you're not a fan of my approach, I fully get that. It's all subjective. Rich is back tomorrow, not only with the return of the simulcast, live from Munich, Germany. another great European opportunity for Rich and the program in advance of calling the latest European game coming up in Munich as the Giants take on the Panthers. Now, not a blockbuster matchup, but the best thing about the games played in the UK and in Germany, and if you saw the crowd last year, it was out of this world. When you wake up on Sunday, there's the early, early game, 6:30 a.m. here on the West Coast, as I come to you from our Regal Studios in Southern California at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Granger. Even if the play is lackluster, and let's be honest, I can't sell you the Giants and the Panthers, but I'll be watching because I appreciate what Rich does in the play-by-play space. He's so conversational and so smooth. It's all about the energy and the atmosphere of these crowds. They approach it like European Premier League soccer or the Bundesliga. Oh my goodness. Soccer knowledge just flowing through the program. The singing, the energy, the atmosphere, be there on NFL Network as I want to promote my former employer. So while you were watching ballot returns be analyzed last night across just about every platform, I was watching the reveal of the first college football playoff rankings in the new 12-team era. I'm not going to go through all 12 teams. I'm not going to talk about who's 13th, who's 14th, because this is the first snapshot. Now, the only issue becomes, and I do love college football and college sports in general even more than I love the NFL. If you care about my power rankings, NBA 1, that's why we're talking a little NBA coming up in the final hour of the program, football of any kind too. But it was interesting, in my estimation, back in the old days, remember that 14 playoff? And if they had just, they being the power brokers that have destroyed college football's fabric and ruined the regional rivalries that made it different than the NFL. And yes, I am bitter because I was an alum of two Pac-12 schools and worked for the Pac-12 network for 12 years. Now I'm an alum of a team getting destroyed in the ACC from my undergrad days and perhaps the most dysfunctional team west of Florida, USC, getting destroyed in the Big Ten. And if Lincoln Riley's buyout wasn't that gargantuan, there'd be a lot more conversation about that being an absolute blunder of a hire. But I want to talk about quality teams. We always heard in early November in the four-team format, it'll all work itself out. All these teams are going to play each other, and we'll get clarity once we get through the conference championship game. And more often than not, that was accurate. Here's another negative byproduct of the 12-team playoff. It's going to be extremely confusing every step of the way. Now, I know a lot of you don't process the minutia like I do. I have no life. It's my job, after all. But just following along on social media, folks did not understand, and Reese Davis is just an outstanding studio host. I give him a lot of credit for reiterating without being annoying. Okay, we're going to go through the rankings now that had Oregon 1, one loss Ohio State. Remember, they lost by a single point on the road in Eugene for their only defeat. Buckeyes 2, one loss Georgia 3, 2-3 a flip-flop from the AP, undefeated Miami 4, one loss Texas rounding out the top 5. Now, those are the rankings. But if you haven't been paying attention, remember, in this 12-team format, the top 5 conference champions get automatic bids to the field of 12. As of now, that 5th seed would be the 12 seed, but the 5th, I got to be very careful here, that 5th conference champion with the automatic bid would be Boise State, which would be an incredible story, because if you're not paying attention to Aston Gentry, I know he's tucked away in Boise State, you're missing a absolutely incredible story. Got a great chance to break Barry Sanders' single season yardage record. He had an opportunity to knock off Oregon on the road, remember? And that, looking back, incredibly interesting game as Boise hung tough on the road in Eugene. Boise would be the Mountain West champion installed as the 12 seed. The top 4 seeds, in no particular order, Just slot it in there. Big Ten champion, SEC champion, Big 12 champion, ACC champion. So, as that relates to what we learned last night, people are freaking out that BYU is ranked ninth, as they should be. Remember, Kalani Sitake's team still undefeated. They handed SMU their only loss. SMU in great shape to make it to the ACC championship game in their first year in that bizarrely organized conference now. But BYU ranked ninth as a potential Big 12 champ is the four seed. So this is just a moment in time. But if you look at the bracket that was established last night, of the 12 teams, eight are from the Big Ten and the SEC. I realize there'll be more separation in the standings because the power conferences, and when I say power, I'm talking about the Big Ten, the SEC. Forget about the ACC and the Big 12. I know they get the auto bids, but they're on a different planet compared to the big boys financially that run college football. Eight of the 12 teams. I'm not great at math, but I can do the arithmetic. 75% of this bracket is the Big Ten and the SEC. Beyond that, we got Notre Dame. You know the Irish are going to be in there if they win out because of the TV rating implications. And we're looking ahead to what I think is a welcome development of on-campus football in the first round. But remember, and I'm going to get into much more vivid detail coming up in just over 20 minutes when I go through this with more time. The opening round games now will be on campus, so we could have snow at the horseshoe in late December. But one game's going to be on a Friday night, December 20th. The triple header, the other three games, the following day. That's a Saturday. I looked at the schedule because I have no life. We also have an NFL doubleheader that day with two outstanding matchups, potentially. Texans, Chiefs, Steelers, and Ravens. Who's watching college football that day? So, yes, I know why we have arrived at the 12-team playoff. Just follow the money. And if you don't like the 12-team playoff, like I clearly don't, guess what? We're going to 16 soon. Next stop, 24, just to get even more cash. But I'll tell you why. There are some unforeseen wrinkles in this new bracket. And if you're thinking about the future, we know the Big Ten and the SEC are already lobbying for more automatic bids, even though, as things are currently constituted, they'd have eight of the 12 teams in, including first-round matchups like Penn State, Notre Dame. That's interesting. Think about Texas and Alabama. Okay, we know what happened when those teams met up last year with Steve Sarkisian turning things around in Austin. Ohio State hosting Boise State. I'm all over Genty, so that is also alluring. Tennessee, Indiana doesn't do much for me, but that would be at Neyland Stadium. And Indiana, one of the best stories in all of college football, still undefeated, even with a lousy strength of schedule. As Kurt Cignetti said when he got the job from James Madison, Google that dude, he wins. When we get back to the college football coming up in 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you why there are many flaws you have not thought about. And we'll talk more about these potential matchups, understanding a lot's going to change. Coming up, back to the NFL. I hit on the marginal news yesterday prior to the trade deadline. Mike Williams liberated from the Jets. He is now a Pittsburgh Steeler as the Jets get set for an intriguing game with the Arizona Cardinals. If the Jets get hot down the stretch but don't make the playoffs, will that make it more or less likely Aaron Rodgers returns for next season? That and much more football on the docket. 844-204-7424 is the phone number. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich and the guys. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Brian Weber back with you. Always a blast when I have a chance to fill it for Rich and the crew. Rich back with you tomorrow, international style. Should be appointment viewing and listening. As they're taking the program to Munich, Germany. Rich has already done the show from London this year in advance of his games in the UK. Rich on the call of the Giants and the Panthers with Week 10 kicking off tomorrow. A game that looked like it was filled with intrigue when the schedule came out. Bengals and Ravens renewing their rivalry. Instead, Cincinnati has imploded this year primarily because of a porous defense, although Joe Burrow tells us, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. They just win a seven, maybe eight more games. The AFC is so muddled in the middle. Let's concede Baltimore the division, although their defense has been suspect at times. Looking back, how in the world did they lose to the Raiders? I'm not going to pile on the silver and black today. I'll be upbeat and positive. Remember, the loss to the Chiefs on opening night on a Thursday in KC came down to millimeters, Zay Flowers in the back of the end zone. And the Cleveland game, you could almost see that coming. The emotional boost to Jameis Winston coming in for Deshaun Watson. And again, I'll leave Watson alone today. I'm trying to take the high road as much as I can. Although you notice Winston reverted to Jameis losing to the Chargers. Oh, by the way, Jim Harbaugh is doing Jim Harbaugh-like things again here in Southern California. Got the Bolts at 5-3. They could be certainly in the legitimate wild card conversation. But as we start thinking about the games that jump off the page coming up this weekend, and we'll all be watching the Ravens and the Bengals tomorrow night, if for no other reason to see what Derrick Henry is going to do against that battered Cincinnati defense. I don't hand out midseason awards, especially because I am merely the guest host. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich. 844-204-7424 is our phone number, or have at it on social media, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. In less than 15 minutes, we'll get back to the college football. I have a lot more analysis and many more thoughts on all of the different implications of that first bracket that was released last night, understanding the final tally is going to look a lot different, especially given what's coming up in the SEC. If you haven't looked at the schedule, understand, been a busy week so far, huh? Blockbuster games in the SEC, as always, a playoff elimination game coming up Saturday under the lights in Baton Rouge, called the Saban Bowl with Alabama and LSU. Remember, Alabama, two losses heading into November. They have not had that circumstance since Saban's first year got in the Crimson Tide. And you got Georgia and Ole Miss. Which version of George is going to show up after Carson Beck had three grisly interceptions in a game against Florida? If you didn't watch the traditional cocktail party matchup, final score looked like Georgia was able to dictate the terms. That was a tie game with 4 minutes left. Still, Georgia, other than the lapses in concentration, and we know the Kentucky matchup, for whatever reason, just does not work for them, part because of what Stoops does defensively. But Georgia has the best win of the year, in my estimation, on the road in Texas. But they've also had some baffling moments when they just don't look like the dogs anymore. More college football coming up. But as I was saying, that's Saturday. Sunday, as I look at the games, and I can't believe I'm going to talk myself into this, the 3-6 Jets on the road at your 5-4 Arizona Cardinals, first place in the muddled NFC West, stands out to me for a variety of reasons. And I've already talked about what's working positively in Arizona. Kyler Murray deserved the pushback he got for, apparently, lack of preparation, being more into video games than the playbook. You can do both. Play Call of Duty all day long. Just know the checkdowns and have a firm grasp of the offense. But back to culture, Jonathan Gannon shows up and things have changed, even if the record wasn't demonstrably different. Overall, they played much better if you think back to last year down the stretch, did the Cardinals. And here are the Jets, and I'm not just breaking the glass, as the fill-in host, it says, talk Aaron Rodgers and talk Cowboys. And I will talk some Cowboys coming up. I'm not doing this looking for clout. I'm doing this because I do find the Jets situation interesting, understanding Mr. Eisen, of course, has his name on the marquee. And you know, Rich is going to talk Jets anytime he can. Let's say, for the sake of argument, they beat Arizona on Sunday. I don't think they're going to, but play along with me here. They'll follow that with a game against the Colts. Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson, it doesn't matter. The Colts are beatable. Then a bye week. Then the Seahawks. I enjoy the Geno Smith experience, but as we saw Sunday against the Rams, like Jameis, he can come up small in high-leverage situations with a ghastly interception against the Rams in the end zone. Jets continue on the road to Miami. Tua playing very well in a game Miami arguably should have won in Buffalo, but another loss for the Dolphins, who are in free fall. Then they'll stay in Florida. They'll take on the wretched Jaguars. And then, looking ahead to the last handful of games, Rams at Buffalo and Miami again. So at 3-6, get to 9 wins in the AFC. You're going to be in the wild card conversation. But let's say, in ultimate Jet fashion, they do get hot. And why shouldn't they? Look at the talent on that roster. Now, the problem is, as Jerry Jones has learned for the better part of 3 decades now, it's not fantasy football. Buzzwords like cohesion and chemistry matter. Something has been fundamentally amiss in that Jet locker room. I keep saying that's got to be the low as the season progressed. And then somehow they dug even deeper, namely that loss to the Patriots. But now with the coaching change, maybe Aaron's disposition changing a bit because he engineered the deal to get Davante Adams. And that's not the Randall Cobb kind of move. Davante, when healthy, still a top 10 receiver, even though once you get past 30, and I hate to fall back to the knee-jerk lines of demarcation, but look at wide receiver production. It does mirror running backs to a degree. 31, 32, 33, things start declining. But it just feels like the vibe surrounding the Jets has changed. And if this team actually lives up to the overall skill set, they should be in playoff contention, because we saw that defense that carried them to 7 wins last year, despite Zach Wilson, Mike White, and the rest of the horrendous quarterback play that followed Aaron Rodgers going down with the torn Achilles in the season opener. That defense was good enough to carry that team to 7 wins. Okay, I realize it's a daunting scenario at 3-6, but we see teams get hot all the time in the NFL. And Breece Hall is a legitimate running back. Feels like once Nathaniel Hackett was pushed out, only reason he was the play caller is because he's been Aaron's buddy going all the way back to Green Bay. That status was good enough to get him the head coaching job in Denver just in case Rodgers was going to be available to go to the Broncos, and we know how that worked out. But the regime change and the culture change, I do think, could be a major spark if you believe that Rodgers can play like he did in Thursday's win over Houston. Because the problem for Rodgers is Can't say anything about last year. It was four snaps before he snapped his Achilles. Go back to his last 2 years in Green Bay. A below-average quarterback. And now, in that 40-year-old range, he's not going to find that elixir he's looking for just by drinking cayenne pepper and hot water. So if you believe that Aaron Rodgers can sustain his individual play, and why not with Wilson and Adams, I think the Jets situation is going to be fascinating, but it all starts with a significant test on the road in the Valley of Sun on Sunday, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. 844-204-7424 is the phone number. Coming up, more college football to start hour number two. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen here on The Rich Eisen Show.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.